Hey, I have my Bible in hand. I hope you have one as well. Let's get into the Word of the Lord. I want to thank our guests who are here. Thank you for making it a very good experience for the baptism candidates back there. Your positive energy was certainly felt, your enthusiasm, greatly enriching the excitement for those that are being water baptized. Really means a lot. And thank you, you who are there watching in the comforts of wherever that comfort is. You make sure you let us know what today is meaningful and what ways God is touching your life. As believers, as Christians, people say, well, what is Hope Chapel? This is a Christian church. We believe in the inerrancy of the Bible. If you are checking out, oftentimes people who are here today is because they are surveying churches online. So we're grateful you get a chance to see what songs we might sing. Do we make people stand? Do we sit? I mean, people really kind of shop around these days. We hope one thing is that you get a chance to know our love for Jesus. And we come in, we may not even be able to put the words together, but our hearts are so full of gratitude for what God has done, put our lives together. And as I look at you here today, so many of us have had our lives transformed by the power of God. And so it is not a complete gathering unless we have a meal time around the word of the Lord to enjoy. Isn't it Jesus who said, he was quoting really Deuteronomy, that he said that man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we're grateful that we get a chance to be a part of that. And I just want to let you know before we even pray that it opens up, make sure you have a bulletin. It's just a little slip. We want to make sure that you can see today's outline. There's a pen that's there. Fill in. God's going to speak to you about some things. We really do trust him to do that. I know he speaks to me even through little children. Ainsley and I are just honored to have our son Luke and his wife Katie, our daughter-in-law, along their five children. You saw their oldest, Finley, being water baptized today. And also Holly and her three boys, they're all staying with in our house, and then we had the Sanders three children yesterday, so 11 grandchildren. That's a lot of noise. And so this seems so subtle and so calm, and we, you know, we're a charismatic bunch. I expect you to, you know, bring it up a notch. But children say the most wonderful things, and one day, I won't say who it was, but they were just sitting on my lap, and Grandpa, did God make me? And I said, oh, yes, honey. I said, look at how pure and clean your face is. He just made you just a little time ago. And then that little grandchild took my face and started pulling back my wrinkles and like that. I said, boy, Grandpa, God made you a long time ago, didn't he? Yeah, okay. I'm still kicking. Had a cute story where this little guy, as a good pastor, they always want to greet people on their way out after they hear that, was it a good message, a good experience, good visitation. And so a little person came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, when I grow up, I'm going to give you a lot of money. And he, oh, well, thank you, young man. Why would you say that? He said, well, my daddy says you're the poorest preacher we've ever had. So, yeah, let's determine whether this message goes anywhere, and that'll show the size of the offering. How's that? For Jesus, that is for Jesus. So, Lord, we open our hearts today, really. We want to hear a word from you. Yes. You're going to make the difference today. So we focus our heart and our attention upon you, Almighty God, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, we started a new series. That series is Staying on the Path of Life. Staying on the Path of Life. We really take that from Psalm 16, verse 11, where God says, I will show you the path of life. In my presence is fullness of joy. At my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. But I sure, man, show us the path of life. And last Sunday, we started it off when life goes sideways. What do? Because life's not perfect, and we know we're not perfect, but how do you stay on that path of life? And we know what's important for us because we're talking about life. Thank you. You are grateful. Some of you have been giving me parts of the game of life. How many played the game of life growing up? Wasn't that fun and frustrating at the same time? You really went through life scenarios. You went from marriage to children to career and then bankruptcy. I mean, it all had it together and you made your way to the acre of millionaires. And that won't hold much money today the way things are elevated. But life can be the same way. And there's challenges there. And people get sidetracked. They get knocked off course. And that's the purpose for our series, Staying on the Path of Life. Today is the title, Our Literal Life Compass. That is today's message. We're really talking about the Bible. And it could be probably some of the more simplest message, but I think this is going to be a message my heart's desire is to convince you. You know, good teaching, good preaching is to move people to decisions. That's the purpose. But if you or I decide not to, that is the beauty of being in America. You can pick or choose. So I give this opportunity for you to select, am I going to go on that path? And one of those things we need is a real good compass for that. We're living in a day where most people no longer believe in any type of absolute moral truth. Statistics are out there. What is moral truth? It literally is saying that truth is always the truth for everyone in every season. But we now have people, by and large, that are saying, well, listen, my perspective is this. It's that area where it's most popular to pick, where you come up with the term my truth. This is my perspective, how I view it, which really comes across authoritative, doesn't it? In other words, I view the truth this way, and that's the way I'm going to live my life in my authority. So with that particular perspective, you're seeing where you would analyze if everybody is picking their way, their truth, how's that working out for society? It really is quite chaotic. How have we been going the last 2 years? We're finding that the country is in more chaos, as well as the world. We're finding that people, even individually, are saying, where and what should I pick? That's why it's important for us to determine in what direction, what's going to set your bearing in what ways. So again, people are coming on absolute moral truth will always be the truth in every setting for everyone. Boy, that's enriching. Statistics show that 22% of Americans believe in absolute truth. So if I put five people together, only one in the group says, man, I'm all in absolute truth. For Christians, it's 32% of Christians believe in absolute truth. One in three people believe in absolute truth. Still, many are just, well, you know, that's the way I'm feeling. Then it drops significantly when it comes to our teenagers. 9% of Christian teenagers believe in absolute truth. One in 10. So you can see here that people are determining what they feel and how they feel will best fit them. How do they come to that? It really comes down to that relativism is the approach that they take. How best does my decision for what I feel is truth benefits me? It's relative to what I am all about, how I feel. Now, that's how people come to that point of reference. This is my truth. It's relative to me. It's my feelings, and it's my perspective, my perception, and it's to my greatest personal benefit. Now, you take that theory and you apply it then to an airline pilot. How about that? Would you like that person to do that theory for flying your plane? Hey, I'm going to fly this plane any way I like it to my personal benefit. How about having a surgery? The same with a doctor. Say, I'm going to use relative approach to how I'm going to do that. How about taking your medications or going to the pharmacist? Listen, let me tell you what I think would be best for me to give you. That just somehow doesn't quite work, does it? Doesn't quite feel the same. So it's important for us when we consider this. If there is, and there is, an all-powerful God that made everything and all the universe, you would think he would come up with an ability to put something together for us to follow because he loves people. That's so important for us to always consider. When people are not as interested in the scriptures, we have a true guide that we can live by, that God says, I really want to bless you. I'm not here to harm you. So it's important for us to consider these things once again. So let me share some benefits being people of the Bible. Because God wants to bless you, it's important. Again, I'm hoping you will make a decision. That's just what it's all about. But it's your choice. It's your life. Don't worry about it. God can speak to you about some things, but there's really two paths to life. Two paths. Let me share Matthew chapter 7. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Jesus says you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it. That's what Jesus said. So it would be helpful that we find a path, and that's a purpose for our series, staying on the path of life. So let's just give you some benefits and the reasons for God's word to be our literal compass for life. This is not just reading material. There's something that's very beneficial when people embrace this book. Number one, God's word will guide your life. Guide your life. Guide your life in so many ways, but check out a couple of verses here. Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That's our series. Just want to throw it out there. What is the benefit? Your word. Let's highlight another one, still from Psalm 119. Let's look at verse 30. The teaching of your word gives light, so even the simple can understand. Have you ever seen how quality the faith is of little children? Even the simple. It's like, wow, I can see and understand that, and I believe that. That's why Jesus said, except you be converted and become like one of these little people, you won't be able to enter in. You'll reason yourself right out, being careful about that. I like Psalm 119, verse 165. Check this one out. Those who love your instructions have great peace and do not stumble. Do not stumble. So it's important. That's pretty simple, but I brought my owner's manual to the truck I own and still drive today. It's a 2003. Yes, it's going to be a 20-year-old vehicle. Toyota Tundra. This is the owner's manual. I still follow it. I go through it to make sure I get a maximum effectiveness in my motor. Yes. Now, you can imagine. You say, well, yeah, that's just a given product. If I follow this manual, my truck keeps operating. I would like to have a new vehicle. I have gardeners all the time asking if I'm ready to sell it. It works great. 20 years. Because I follow the owner's manual. Yes, sir. The motor hums along. It's effective. It functions well. It's an amazing thing. When I follow the manual, the motor benefits and everything operates. If I don't follow it, if I say, you know what, I'm going to operate this thing however I want or not at all, that motor will slowly destroy itself. That's the same with our human life. We've got a manual. I don't know how to emphasize it clear enough. God has something for us that he really wants us, and he has specific direction to really benefit each of us. When we don't operate our lives according to God's specifications, don't you see? I do. I see people all the time. They damage their lives. They damage their emotions. Man, they wear out relationships. Their futures are devastated. Their hopes altered. Because they decide to go without the manual. They decide to function in a different way. But I know you and I want maximum potential. That's the beauty of me just saying, let's hang in there. Let's go for it. So the Bible has guide for your life. And relational guide, purpose, give you guide in that direction, spiritual guide, even financial guide. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's there if you literally will use the book. Number two, God's word will create a successful life. Successful life. Let's take a look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, it says, study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. I see that there. I know you do too. Now let me make sure we understand common understanding of success. It's far more than just saying this is what a person possesses. This is what a person's career has. This is what money. It seems to be the common conversation, those three. This is my money. This is my possession. Check it out. And this is my career. Boy, for a man, if a man gets laid off his job, some of those men go into deep depression because that's their identity. It's terrible when that happens. But real success comes because of, it's far more than money, successful relationships. God's word says, I will give you success in your marriage, in your parenting, in your relational, emotional satisfaction, fulfillment, your joy. I mean, there's something that I just want to say, I'm so glad I hang into the book because I benefit. And if you hang out with me, you benefit as well. It gives meaning to my life. And that's the way God's word, not only does it guide your life, but it also brings a success to your life. So, success in every arena. Dave Bush of America On Site says, we need to get past looking at the Bible as something that hinders life successes, but rather than builds it. So let's be careful about that. And listen, nobody does life perfectly. You just have to, don't think we've got to be just perfect. I'll tell you, if your heart just has a yearning to say, Lord, I know I need to get in the book, and I know I need to just do what I can to follow you, God sees that. God sees that. You can write down Jeremiah 17:10. That God so clearly there, it says, the Lord, I bring basically a clear understanding. I search the heart and I test the mind to give to every person what they basically have applied or pursue. So it's important that we continue to know that God sees our heart more than even what we can do. Let's take a look at number three. God's word will produce blessings in your life. We just finished a series, Our Season to Bless. Thank you. Thank you for writing and saying how much that meant to you and the breakthrough that God has brought to you out of just probably generational curses to bring upon you and the family a blessing. But part of that, as you take a look, God's word will produce blessings in your life. Now, it sounds similar to success. And I like the word blessing, and basically your life will work out. But look what James chapter 1, verse 25 says. Okay, just take a look at that. You can see I'm just trying to encourage you and woo you into the direction and say, man, I need to get back into that Bible app I have on my phone. I need to go for it. But James chapter 1, verse 25, but if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you go, do what it says, and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. I see that, don't you? I see that. blessings. That's why we go about saying it pays to obey. It really does. God sees our ability to want to do what's right, and it's amazing. But remember, because our life and where we sit and the society we're in, it's a broken, sin-filled world. So things are going to be very challenging. It doesn't mean we're going to be exempt from heartache and areas that set us back. That's just our way of living in this society. It does not mean that area of success, an area of blessing, does not mean that you're going to live a pain-free life, a challenge-free life. Please understand that. That hurts everybody when it's like, well, I thought now that I've given my life to Jesus, it's happy day from here on into eternity. Well, you know you're going to have a happy day, but you hang out with people that are not quite perfect. And that's where our heartache ends up sometimes. So the element that we know that God wants to bring health and wholeness to you and me, to continue to obey his word, is so important for us. So obedience, to align our lives according to his word. I want to just say, please, please consider that even today when you say, I'm going to do what's right, even today brings lasting effects later on in your life. Some things you have to kind of wait for it. It's very clear in scripture. You plant, it's like farming. You plant something today, you harvest it later. So Ainsley and I, my wife and I, have been married 40 years. We're enjoying the environment of our adult children, of our in-laws, their spouses, and our 11 grandchildren. That's part of the results, a good fruit, I believe, of the decisions, good choices we have made. You can imagine if Pastor Paul, made a few bad choices and decided to check out from living right, how that would affect so many people. Yes. I've got to tell you, because of my dear family that I love so much, I have chosen to not engage in that pattern of sinful behavior. Because of them who's following me, because of you, I've decided I better straighten up my life and keep my nose clean. So it's important you help me. And that's the beautiful thing of maintaining these things. All seeds we put into the ground or obey God today bears good results later. Good results later. Hang in there. Hang in there. Number four, God's word will protect your life. Excuse me, protect your life. It's important when we do that. Let's check it out. Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, God's word will protect your life. Says anyone, Jesus says, who listens to my teachings and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Let's take a look a couple of verses down, verse 26. Matthew 7, 26 goes in and it says, but anyone who hears my teachings and doesn't obey, it is foolish. And like a person who builds a house on sand. Now, you and I understand storms of life just bring stuff, right? Haven't we gone through something the last 2 years? I mean, pandemic, wildfires going on. There's been some real things that have been quite hurtful. So God tells us, Jesus says, that you build a strong foundation if you put the word, my word, into practice. That's a beautiful thing. I want to just tell you how rich and wonderful it is when I know that I'm right with God, because when the storms of life, and it happens to everybody, you want to build according to the right code. You know, there's building codes out there. We were just in Florida. Do you know they have a different building code than they do in California? Are you aware? They have something called hurricanes. So you could build your house, Jesus says, on another building code, and that's not good. You're going to find your life comes up shallow, maybe even disruptive and destructive. So we want to build our life, do we not, on that building code? And that's where the scriptures come in. Just look at the chaos that's happening in our society. I mean, there are people that really need what you have in Jesus. They really do. Please let them know. Please let them know like I'm letting you know. It's not only Jesus, not only say, hey, I believe in God. Bible says, well, that's really quite not enough. Because James 2:19 says even the demons believe in God. We know they're not going to be going to heaven. So it's got to be something with a person that's engaged with the Lord. Let's go for that. Let's really have Jesus to be the one that really speaks to our lives. Number five, let's take a look at that. God's word produces freedom in your life. Boy, I sure like that. Really like this one. There's something that's really helpful when we engage God's word, but check it out with me in John chapter 8, verse 32. Jesus says, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Let's move to James chapter 1, verse 25. In James 1, 25, let's let the Bible just speak for itself. If you look carefully into the perfect law, that sets you free. Boy, there's something wonderful about being free. You can actually be yourself, isn't it? Be with people. You don't have to dress like them. You don't have to act like them. You don't have to giggle. Oh, that was funny. You're free. You just be yourself and just know you and Jesus are having a great time. See, the great lie of our spiritual enemy, and you have one, will tell you that if you get into this book, it's going to really hinder you from being all that you can be. Be careful. I've heard that voice. You may have heard that voice. And he's out there. He knows if you wield this thing called the sword of the Word of God, you take on some great momentum and great exploits. Be careful. Our lives are no different than many people at times, but I'll tell you, at least we're not free to certain elements of bondage. Sometimes people don't want to adhere to the word, and they have destructive behaviors and insecurities and guilt and despair and hopelessness and self-centeredness and materialism and craving for power. And they feel like they have the freedom to do whatever they want to do, but it's actually destroying them, puts them into what's called bondage. They think they're free, but they're really not. Jesus says, why don't you get a hold of the book? And true freedom has some boundaries, though. Do you remember boundaries? Like God is a good parent, like any good parent, would not just give their children junk food to live on. But you understand that? There's just certain things a good parent wouldn't give their child to eat. A little bit of restriction on freedom. No chocolates or Doritos for breakfast. Just want to throw that out there in case my grandchildren are listening. It's important that we remind ourselves God sees our choices in much the same way because he loves us and he wants us to have a happy and a fulfilling life. Well, let me just bring up number six. God's word will change your life. I am not the same person. I credit the Holy Spirit and God's word. The Spirit and the word agree. We're going to talk about that next time we're together, how the Holy Spirit, in listening to him, really does help direct our path, keep us on life. But let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. What does the word say about itself? It says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. Now check that out. When we take a look at that powerful thing, the reason God's word changes our lives is because it came from God. It came from God. It didn't come from man. It didn't come from man. If it came from God, I call them love letters to you. Isn't that nice? God's love letters to you. Hello. Have you read them lately? So when we take and enjoy what God has done, we want to notice five things that the word will change our lives for, and I just want to highlight them, and that is this, as we welcome our worship team up. Letter A teaches us what is true. See that in the Word? Teaches us what is true. It says it right there, which is so clear. People who are desperately needing elements of just that standard of absolute moral truth, the Word of God brings in that truth. See, you can go ahead and check the fact checkers, or you go ahead and just, why don't you trust the truth maker? And then I would probably tweet that. You can go ahead and check the fact checkers or check in with the truth maker. How like that, don't you? Yeah, okay, three of you caught it. But how about letter B? Realize what is wrong. The Word of God literally says the Spirit of the Lord will help you to realize what is wrong. We're talking about staying on the path of life. The Word of God will help you. People say, I don't need anybody. I don't need to be in church. I don't need to be around others. I got Christian friends. Everybody I know is a believer. But nobody hangs around to see what the Word of God might want to say. Something can be true, but it also, we take a look, it implies that there could be some things that are wrong. Help us to realize things that are wrong. And the Holy Spirit's the person that will help us with that. That's important. If things are true, there could be things that are wrong. And I need the Word of God to tell me, this is wrong. Ah, it's helpful. Letter C corrects us when wrong. Now, I like the fact that we take a look at that beautiful thing that I appreciate so much about Almighty God. He doesn't condemn any of us. He convicts me that there are things I need to move into. I like that, don't you? Helps me to direct and to understand and to see. But it's also important for us to come along and say, boy, I recognize the direction I need to go. Letter D teaches us to do right. You don't have that on your card, write that in. Letter D teaches us to do right. That's what 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. A beautiful thing. I like it when we want to go on the path of life and enjoy ourselves. The Word of God. That again, my prayer for you today is that many of you will say, I really want to have God help me stay on that path. That's a decision. That's a Jeremiah 17:10. God searches the heart. He tests the minds. It's between you and the Lord. It really is. I'm just maybe by coinky dink, he's just giving you something to think about today. And then naturally, letter E prepares and equips. God's word prepares us for life, equips us, trains us. Oh, I found it so wonderful. I used to sell printing. I used to sell envelopes and stationery, family printing business. And I remember making sales and good money. I realized, this is so shallow. I don't like this anymore. I'd rather be poor and find something meaningful. And lo and behold, my joy is to tell you about Jesus. My joy is to say, you can't, this book is a closed book unless you know the author. It's so important for us. I'm going to invite you right now just to pray this prayer with me. Would you join me before we sing? Let's just invite the Lord to be our Savior and our Lord. Like the eight people who are water baptized today, they made that decision. This will be your decision. This is your decision. I'm giving an invitation. But watch how the Bible will become an open book. Let's repeat out loud this prayer. Dear Jesus, I confess to you today that you are the Savior of the world and that you died for me, that you were buried for me, and that you rose again to life for me. You did all that for me. And this very day, dear Lord, I ask you, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Be my Lord and be my Savior. What you say goes. Whatever you want, I surrender.
Surrender.
Dear Jesus,
I trust you now.
For eternal life,
in heaven,
with you,
in Jesus' name,
I pray. Amen. Praise God. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for praying. The lights are still low, but if you prayed that prayer to just recommit your life to the Lord or surrender for the first time, would you just put your hand up? We want to applaud the Lord for that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you. Anyone else? Did I miss your hand? We praise the Lord. Thank you for those 10 hands for that. You know, the Lord is so gracious. He knows what we are all about. And I'm committing him to your care. That's the beauty of something called the body of Christ or the church. Please find a good church like Hope Chapel. Wink, wink. The other thing is, you and I have the option nowadays in this great setting of either getting a Bible app on our smartphone or getting a real Bible. Go back into reading. My challenge to all of you, many of you are reading your Bibles through this year. Man, get one of our annual Bible readers. 3 chapters a day, you'll go through the Bible in a year. For you who are picking up midstream, this is like Christmas in July. How's that? You may have to read two days a setting. How about that? But for all of you who are not reading your Bible, this is my challenge. These next 2 months, I want you to read the Gospels, which is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Read the Gospels. Get to know the Jesus in the Bible. Let him speak to you. It doesn't matter if you want to read a chapter or just a few verses. You'll pick up momentum and say, whoa, there's something about this. I feel like it's just addressing me. Get into your Bible apps, would you? Or get a paperback version. They still print them, you know. That's pretty nice. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.